When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's get into Around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store to get today. That's Quickassyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, let's go around the NFL. One of the games that, as we were in the press box watching the game, you know, you see the ticker on the bottom just to kind of keep up with some things. One of the games that I know surprised me, I feel like it surprised some other folks, was Philadelphia at Tampa. The Eagles, I think a lot of people over the last few seasons would have easily said were the better team than the Buccaneers, and it did not play out that way. It was a 33-16 victory by the Buccaneers. And during the course of this, I think the real thing that caught my eye, one, I mean, the Eagles not doing what they need to do, but the Mike Evans just like constantly being incredible, just consistent in that way. And I know for you as an Aggie fan, right, you look around and like, hey, Mike Evans has been doing this since college, if not earlier, right? Like just making everything look a lot better than maybe it even is. He ends up with 8 catches for 94 yards and a touchdown in this one, which, I mean, that's a solid, it's not a Nico Collins performance, to be honest, but another solid performance from him. And the big thing about that is that it took him to a place where he now exists as one of three players to lead the franchise in scoring. That is right. He became the Tampa Bay Buccaneers leader in franchise scoring, which is really unique because it's typically kickers that get to lead a franchise in score. The thing I have for you, fine gentlemen, can you name for me the other two players who lead their team's franchise?
All time
in scoring.
You know what? I should have looked that up. So it's a good question because I'm going to be...
I knew you wouldn't. That's why I was like, I can get him here.
I'm going to be taking some guesses here.
I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say Justin Tucker.
Well, not a kicker.
Well, non-kicker.
Oh, non-kicker.
Okay. That's the place where you could absolutely get... I feel like Justin Tucker's up there. You probably get Adam Vinatieri on there somewhere, right? Like that. You can get there with some of these.
I'm going to say
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Aaron Rodgers is not leader. Because also, I think quarterbacks will not count in this.
The passing.
The passing won't count. It'll have to be like receiving or rushing touchdowns.
I'm going to say it's got to be someone that doesn't necessarily do one thing. I'm going to say.
That is not true for either of these gentlemen.
Roger Craig.
It is not Roger Craig. Yeah. I will also give you another hint. Both of them played primarily for NFC teams.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, primarily. I'll use that word.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice is one of those for the San Francisco 49ers. Played for about a billion years and was great in all of them. So, yeah, Jerry Rice, one of the two, or one of the three, rather, players that lead their franchise.
You got me thinking receiver. Randy Moss?
You got the right wide receiver. That is the wide receiver is Jerry Rice, in addition to now Mike Evans, who joined.
But there's a running back.
There is a running back. And it feels evident.
Who is it?
Emmitt Smith.
When
you have that many yards and all those things. But there you go. Like, that is the elite company that Mike Evans joins, and I don't know that he's talked about in those ways, and he may be.
I mean, he's automatic 1,000 yards. Never had anything less than 1,000 yards in his career, which is pretty much a punching your ticket to the Hall of Fame type career. Continue. He's done it with multiple different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like multiple different quarterbacks.
Yes, and how many of them do we even feel are particularly good?
Yeah. Right? Brady.
And speaking of Brady, in fact, Baker Mayfield had made some comments when it came to, not necessarily directly about Tom Brady, but kind of his position with this Buccaneers team. Mm-hmm. And he basically, you know, had said that Actually, I'll let the audio play it for you. So this is Tom Brady on the broadcast, because obviously he works at Fox, and Fox was calling this game. And so you'll hear the audio, or rather you'll hear them read Baker Mayfield's quote, and then you'll hear Tom Brady's reaction. See if he enjoyed what happened here.
Our guy here said, quote, "They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun." It's funny because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth, so I understand where he's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Feel the stress? No. Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings.
Ouch.
So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
good.
So,
anywho, that's basically what he was saying.
You think Tom Brady's right here?
You know what I loved about it the most? Tom Brady's saying what he's thinking, not what he thinks he should say.
Fair enough.
I love the fact that he went there, and he's right. I mean, yeah, how can you argue? How can you argue with what Tom Brady said there? But he put him in a body bag, man.
But I think that does highlight something, though, right? Yeah. Like the idea of, hey, man, it's real uncomfortable in the ways that Tom Brady and, of course, like Bill Belichick want to run those teams. It's one of those things that we heard about the Patriots all the time is that, hey, man, those dudes would sign up and they knew they weren't going to have a good time.
But it's a business.
What made it work was because they knew they were going to win on the backside of it.
It's a business.
But that works when you know you're going to win a championship.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that does not work with other situations. So I kind of feel Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers in this, like, hey, if we do not have that feeling of assurance that we're definitely going to win a championship on the other side, hey, man, you better treat me a little bit better than this.
Let's just have some fun.
Yeah, honestly, if you're a team that's a contender, that is a lot of pressure, man. I don't think it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's fun at the end of the day when you get what you wanted.
Yeah.
But it's stressful, especially if you go through a loss and a bad loss, something like that. Man, I can see it being not as fun when you're going through the moment. But
I think the most successful teams go through that a lot, where it's not fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it is an industry. It is a business. It is something that you have to be able to be accountable for.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was an interesting thing, but I mean, the Buccaneers have found themselves winning some games.
Take my kids to Disney World.
Well. Yeah, we know you don't take your kids to Disney World. You go work some more. A game that happened last night, Sunday Night Football, Ravens, Bills, and the Ravens found themselves in a big way against the Texans' next opponent, the Buffalo Bills. It was a 35-10 victory. And the note on this one, can you guess what we're going to talk about here, Lopez?
Number 22?
That is right. Derrick Henry, 24 attempts for 199 yards. In fact, he has had six 200-yard games in his career, and he was one short of adding a seventh, which would be a record.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And you remember when John Harbaugh said, well, we didn't bring him in to carry the ball, to carry the load, you know, 20, 25 times a game. I think Derrick Henry might have gone to him and said, yeah, just give me the ball. This dude is from another planet, man. Like, he is just an altogether different cat to be able to do what he's doing. And why would you get away from it? It's, you know, given the combination of what he can do, obviously Lamar Jackson, and then that's just scratching the surface of some of the things they can do with him. That was an incredible show, and he's got 350 yards rushing in his last two games.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a 30-year-old running back, and we know kind of the timeline and career path that running backs seem to have, especially in this modern NFL. He is 30 years old, which is a marvel in some ways. And he still got up to damn near 22 miles per hour on that big play, that 87-yard touchdown, which was about as fast as Xavier Worthy was running, near where Xavier Worthy was running on that big touchdown pass that Patrick Mahomes threw to him this week.
It's incredible.
He has 80 more pounds on him, 82 more pounds listed. And we shouldn't make these.
Yeah, that's right? What I'm saying. He's from another planet.
It is, and there's more. I have more stats, right? The 87-yard touchdown rush was the longest rush touchdown in Ravens history, right? It was his third. of 85 plus in his career, right? And so he is one of three players in NFL history to have three plus touchdowns. Him, Lamar Miller, and Chris Johnson.
Man, I've been waiting on this downfall for a little bit.
And you're going to keep waiting, apparently, because he's might, still here.
He might be the Tom Brady of running backs at this point, where you think the older he get, oh, he going to have a down year this year.
How many times did we say that about Brady?
Yeah.
Hey, did the Texans have a shot at him? I forget. Somebody help me out here. Did the Texans have a shot at him?
Also, I'll do one more Derrick Henry thing because it's almost Barry Bonzi and not nearly, but like we're just like all the stats about this particular situation keep popping up and are interesting to me. Derrick Henry has four rushing touchdowns of 70 plus yards in primetime games since 2017. All other NFL players also have four.
Now that is the best one of all. And three of those 200 yard games were against the Texans, right?
Why are you bringing up Bosa?
Yeah. I think so.
Why are you bringing up Bosa?
So they were familiar with his work.
God bless him being in Baltimore, by the way. Like, yeah. Hey, Titans, don't you feel stupid for not paying him that extra?
That
track?
Was scary from the beginning when he was going to Baltimore. I was hoping he went to the Cowboys, man.
Yeah,
him going to Baltimore is scary.
Yeah.
It was scary from the beginning. I don't give a damn how old he was.
Yeah, last night looked scary, right? They did the Buffalo Bills terrible.
Yeah.
And I texted you five folks, and I was like, yo, Baltimore's susceptible on the run. And what'd you say back?
Yeah, everyone's susceptible to number 23. You're going to have to come at me with some. You're great at stats, but you're going to have to come up with some better stats than that.
And to be fair, going into that game.
They're susceptible. No kidding.
Right. Going into that game, the Bills were, in fact, 28th when it came to EPA allowed on in run games, in run situations. So they are susceptible, but it looked even worse when you had Derrick Henry. Was there anything else that you took away from that game, seeing the Bills, knowing that, hey, they're going to be coming to town next
week?
Well,
the Bills, and we've talked about this a couple of different ways. Like, that was just that they laid an egg, but the Bills have put on tape, they have put on their resume games that they can be really, really good. So that was one. I mean, it's a bounce-back game now for the Bills when they come to Houston. And, you know, that makes it even tougher. I just feel like, you know, my big takeaway was the Ravens are finding something. And I think that something is John Harbaugh's realizing we can give him the ball more than 8 or 10 times. You know, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
We can give it to him 24 times. And look what happens. And look what it does for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Christmas Day will be very interesting because that's a team that is also, they're realizing, hey, we could really lean into this run, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I think they barely used three wide receivers in the course of that game. Like, they were just, hey, we are going to get big, we are going to run on you, and that is a little concerning going forward, not going to lie. All right, we mentioned this. Would you be willing to trade this Texans player? The player being a wide receiver and the destination being the Kansas City Chiefs. They just possibly lost Rashee Rice for the season. They're worried that it's possibly he might be dealing with a ACL injury after, you know, they fear that he's torn his ACL.
Yeah.
After in a game with the Chargers this week. And that would be another guy that they lose. They've lost Isaiah Pacheco during the course of this season. And so they need some of those fast elements. They need probably another wide receiver, as we knew they did coming into the season. And you've posited the idea that possibly John Metchie could be a target that they'd be interested in.
It was kind of an NFL passing thought as I'm watching the league yesterday. Would you trade John Metchie to the Chiefs?
Man, what's the get back?
We had this conversation in training camp where we thought Metchie was going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I said, hell no. Yeah. I'm not giving the Chiefs nothing.
Well, the Chiefs are going to be looking at Davante Adams and DeAndre Hopkins, I think. They're going to do something, right? And they don't ever not do anything when it comes to these types of things. Hell, they brought in Kareem Hunt. I mean, you know, I mean,
that's a different level than trading.
Well, sure,
that's a guy who was out on the street.
But people didn't know what he had. He looked okay. John Metchie, and this is, you're going to hear this later during confessions as well. I mean, who knows what his fit is here? Now, I mean, he had a good shot yesterday. Didn't really get but nine snaps.
Yeah, they went with Robert Woods filling basically all of the Tank Dell situations.
Just a thought. Rashee Rice, you know, season ending potentially. They're gonna do something. I don't know what the return could be. You mentioned that. Not much, right?
I don't think it's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
With that, we asked that as a question, and I want you to guess what the response was. It was overwhelmingly one way or the other. What do you think the response was?
On the text board?
Yes.
Hell no.
That is correct. That
is correct. Y'all smart.
I can't
Y'all
be
smart.
Right? Like, I don't know. And then in addition to it, right, it's the John Metchie, and we talked about this in the roster building, mm-hmm. deciding who the 53 man would be for this team, right? You were looking at a Texas team where the wide receiving core, you have some youth there looking forward as well. Yeah. Stephon Diggs, you have on the books for one for this season. He will be a free agent at the end of this year. Yeah. Is he going to return? Not certain, right? Who is going to step into some of those places mm-hmm. that you then vacate? And I'm not saying that it'll definitely be John Metchie, but the idea of having some of these younger players with some control, I guess to use a baseball term, that's a nice thing to have on this team to give you that flexibility.
But it is funny, though, because I think we're all in agreement. It's just not looking like it's going to happen here. It's just not looking that way, right?
Yeah.
But hell no, we don't want to trade him to the Chiefs.
I'm not giving the Chiefs anything, man. Nah.
Because it might happen there. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, no way it's going to happen here. It doesn't look like it.
And see, that was my biggest fear. Like, I thought Metchie was going to end up getting traded a cut in training camp. Mm-hmm. But I don't want him to go off for the Chiefs. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, this is the second round
pick. But I thought he's not going to make it.
I just thought
That's how terrifying Andy
not
Reed
there.
Yeah.
Just not,
are.
Not there. That is the response.
I'll trade on Carolina so you can link up with Bryce Young again.
Exactly.
But nah, not the Chiefs.
Yeah, go get that Andy Dalton in your life. There you go. Interesting hypothetical that you bring up there, Lopez. And that's how we go around the NFL, and that's brought to you by Quick Assist. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Texans victory reaction Monday after a 24-20 victory over the Jaguars. Coming up next, actually, in the course of that game, who hooped? Who played very well? There was some ups and downs within it. Let's see how we appreciate the goods of this game next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Need a good one here. Third down and two at the Jacksonville 6. Stroud in the gut. Brooks winged right, Akers in the backfield with CJ, and now Diggs joins them. Handoff, Diggs running right. He wants to throw. Now he cuts back. Diggs across the 5 into the end zone. Stephon Diggs, touchdown, Houston.
There you go. A little bit of fanciful plays coming in for the Texans, ultimately led to a touchdown. One of a few in the 24-20 victory for your Texans over the Jaguars. An important win at home, not the prettiest win thus far, but ultimately brings them to 3-1. Let's talk about who hooped John Lopez in this victory. And I think we can start with the easy one. CJ Stroud hooped in the
week. There's two easy ones, right? I mean, CJ Stroud, we started the show. It's worth mentioning. It's going to be kind of an ongoing theme all week as they prepare for the Bills. As long as you have that guy, you're going to have a chance. It's something we've said multiple times over the course of his young career. It's something that is absolutely true and came to life yesterday. But also Nico. I feel like when you have a guy that, the play breaks down, they're all coached the same, to find the open space, to sit down there, to whatever, get behind a safety, to come back to the quarterback, all those little things. Nico did it better than anyone, but there still has to be a guy that can get out of the pressure, get out of the pocket, throw across his body, do something off script, and that's why I think those two guys right there, CJ and Nico, those are the obvious ones.
All right, so you mentioned Nico, so let's lean towards Nico. Nico Collins, after the game, obviously it was a podium game, right? He put up, 151 yards, is that correct? Am I getting that right? Are we seeing that correctly? 151 yards. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right.
Okay. I thought it might have been 300 the way he's playing. 12 receptions, 151 yards.
Had some called back too.
Yeah,
That's the thing. If it wasn't for some of those holdings, might have had 200.
He leads the league in receiving yards by 100.
Do that again?
Like Malik Nabers has 100 fewer passing or receiving yards than Nico Collins, and they are just force feeding Malik Nabers up there because there's nothing else to do. And Nico Collins is out here like, I got an extra 100 for you. All right, so this is Nico Collins talking about the connection that him and CJ have when a play breaks down.
Yeah, it is. I feel like my standard man just continue to be me, continue to submerge in the deep end. block out the distractions, continue to be myself, continue to find the things I need to work on, which is everything. I feel there's always room for improvement on your game. So my mindset, man, don't get comfortable and continue to build, continue to take care of my body, continue to be available for the team, you know, and just let the rest be the rest. I feel like, man, we just work scrimmage drill. I've scheduled plays every day in practice before we're going to start. That's like every day. So you really don't know where she's looking. You know, you're just trying to find an open void. And but Seven, man, he's special. You know, he's the type of guy that's going to extend the play. Always looking downfield, so I feel like the play is never over. So also always got to find that void and the hole, man, and Seven, he's going to find you. You know, so that's what we've been doing.
That's the one that stood out to me right there. And the reason is these two things feed on each other. They feed off each other.
Yeah.
Like when you know you're Nico Collins, you're any of these receivers, and a play breaks down, because CJ is special, as he talked about and we all know, it almost becomes even more of a thing for you to be able to find that space. And yeah. So like what that just keeps building and building. It's like, oh, play breakdown. Don't worry. CJ's going to get it to me if I get do this, this, or this, you know?
Yeah, and in my notes as I'm writing during the course of this game, for the second game or maybe the third game, it's just, I find this Nico slogan, I stick with it. One of those games was just like, you know, just Nico is Nico, I think was, might have been week two against the Bears. And this week, apparently the slogan was, it's Nico's world, right? Like if Nico want in scramble drill situations, he's open. If there's a zone, finding that spot to sit down in, he's able to get the ball. Also in those situations where you just need your big body wide receiver to be a big body wide receiver and get a contested catch, just go up and get it. He's doing that. Is there something that he is not capable of doing? Like,
I mean, he can stretch the field. He can sit down. He can, you know, run. He can be a safeguard, you know, an outlet.
Getting the ball to him in yeah. space, right? With a quick screen they got, and he's just getting out there.
No, we haven't seen an end around.
We haven't seen end around. Okay.
That's a Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs.
There is one gap in the game, or at least that we have yet to see. He probably could do it if you got him out there to do it.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm to the point where that's bona fide number one wide receiver, and I'm putting him top five wide receiver in the league right now.
Oh, for sure.
Like, That kind of wide receiver is what you're dealing with.
Here. Yeah.
And yes, people have brought it up multiple times. That is a steal of a contract. Mm-hmm. A steal of a contract. In fact, like if he does feel some type of way at some point and comes and talks to you about it, put a little extra on it. Don't worry about it. Like that is the level that may well happen. With.
And deservedly so.
He might have to knock on Nick Caserio's door after the season. Like, yo.
Well, maybe not this season. Maybe this season. I don't know. Hey. But, yeah.
The way the league on.
Yeah, the way
a lot of these dudes are like, hey,
he might mess around.
Might pull that Tyreek Hill. Hey, I need more money.
Yeah.
Hey, if he hired David Mulligetta in the next couple weeks, then
ski mask like, pulled on. Yeah, let's go. But, yes, let's go back to the dude because I don't want to neglect C.J. Stroud within this. And both of these guys deserve their credit, but that final drive was incredible. Like you go 69 yards on this play, which is obviously very nice during the course of this, but you do it, and I think CJ also mentioned that idea that hey, they weren't even necessarily in like 2 minute, but it's just they're such a command of the offense in the way that they do this with tempo, whether it's getting up to the line and taking your time, or it just felt like he had a level of poison control on this offense that even during the course of the season we hadn't quite seen yet. That's one of the things that's really encouraging with this team, even though there's a lot of things you could point to and nitpick about, and I will. CJ Stroud, the growth that he is having is evident.
He's the kind of guy that the opposing coach doesn't want to leave any time left on the clock. Because when he gets the ball, you just know something is going to happen. And how many guys like that can you count? You know, one hand. You know, like we might try to score here, touchdown, field goal, whatever. Let's milk that clock because we don't want CJ to have the ball at the end. And we talked about it when they were losing the game yesterday. He was 22 out of 29 for 273 yards and two touchdowns. That's just different, man. We talk about Derrick Henry's from another planet. Well, he's not necessarily looking like, you know, as imposing as Derrick Henry, but he has something that most quarterbacks just don't have.
Yeah, and in the pocket and out of the pocket, right? He does the things that, it's weird because this is the full extreme, but like the, hey, man, I'm going to get Lamar-esque and just out here like evading all of the pass rushers coming, which you saw some of that, him getting out there in space, but then also just
the minute little adjustments with his feet in the pocket to give himself enough time fading to the left, fading to the right, right, and getting the ball out to where it needs to go. I'm still fascinated with that one where he's like kind of rolling out to the left. Stephon Diggs is coming across and he nails. Oh my goodness. This dude is incredible.
He's, and by the way, where was all this at Ohio State?
All right.
I mean, come on.
Okay. Like Fig, you got to come talk. Answer for your man. Ryan Day.
The running, the avoiding pressure. He was a pocket guy at Ohio State and he still got second. Wasn't in the Heisman or something?
Yeah. I mean, he showed that off against Georgia.
That's it. Yeah,
the only reason they lost that doggone game was the kicker.
Yeah.
So. All right, we got to get to some other folks. We can't just spend the whole time talking about Nico CJ.
Some other
folks. I mean, we could, but we shouldn't.
We could, but the one that stood out to me, and we talked about this as it was happening, you and I and Seth in the press box, I thought Stephon Diggs hooped.
Yes.
Like, I really did, all given not only the catches that he had, but that one play that we just heard coming in. We were talking, okay, was that just a designed run the whole way, or did he make that decision? I think you and I are different on this. I think he made the decision in real time, reading that safety or linebacker.
It was a safety.
The safety. As soon as he
If you don't remember the play, it was they were lined up. He gets the ball on what was kind of like an end round reverse kind of thing. CJ ends out left, looking like he is available for that throwback.
Yeah,
somewhat similar to the trick play that you saw last week. Not exactly the same, because that was a screen and then he then throws back the other way, and then you see two Jaguars defenders go with CJ and it's almost like a counter in a way, where Steph Diggs, he gets the ball, puts his foot in the ground, looks back that way, and then takes off right towards the middle of the field where there's no defenders, in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I am of the belief that it seemed like if he made that decision, he made it so instantly quick.
I did. I think
that
it
didn't look, the moment that it looked like he was passing, it looked like maybe that was a pump in order to get defenders to freeze and then get to the line. But if he did look up and see, hey, that safety, his back is toward
Read the
me.
Safety. If he turns his back, you go.
I see his name as he is trying to get out to CJ Stroud. Now I go, right? If that's what happened, that is the veteran savvy of Diggs. And that is one of the many places where you could see the veteran savvy of Diggs in the course of this game and through the time that he's been
here. I agree. I think he absolutely hooped. That wasn't, to me, that was an end-around RPO. it really was. And I thought he had a really good game.
Continuing the offensive flair of the Who Hoop segment here, Darrell Ogunbowale needs to be respected and appreciated within the course of this, right? He is a dude who kind of does anything that you need him to do. He's almost like one of those handymen, like he's a handyman type player, right? We need to spackle the
dirty
wall,
work,
whatever,
all the
right?
cliches, dirty work, handyman,
hey man,
all that.
The washing machine ain't working. Can you handle that? Hey, the sink is leaking. Hey man, my bed frame broke. Can you put that? No matter what, he's stepping in, right? Pass blocking, special teams, and in this game, it was like, hey, we kind of need you to run the football a little bit. No problem, I got you, right?
And
catch the football out of the backfield. And I enjoyed a lot, whether it was, you know, even just dump offs, or sometimes there was very evident attempts to get him the ball in space. He made something happen with them, and like his reaction, his feet, like I thought he looked better with his feet than Cam Akers did.
And he picked him up and put him down pretty good too.
Yes, he did.
He could go a little bit. Now I'm with you on that. And Kalen Bullock, I mean,
the chase down.
He might have had a couple of hiccups here and there, but that's going to happen at that position. But the chase down was just...
He saved points.
It saved the game.
He saved... Yeah, absolutely.
It saved the game.
I'm being too conservative here. He saved the game.
Yeah.
With a level of discipline and I don't know, stick-to-itiveness, for lack of a better term, that is something that makes a coach smile internally, right? Like, those are the things that coaches harp on as coaching points. And it's evident that has stuck with Kalen Bullock in that particular play of not giving up, not just going. Because I given up, and I was like, oh, Tank's gone.
Oh, he gone.
And nope. And was like, I will go and chase him down. And that absolutely showed up.
If he doesn't make that play, they go down 10 and they lose. And we're sitting here talking about a 2-2 team.
Buddy, we
it's as simple as that.
We are talking crazy about the Texans right now. Yeah. If Kalen Bullock doesn't make that
play. If he doesn't make that play, they're 2-2, losing to the Jags. And who knows, you know, what kind of bedlam we'd be talking about. Absolutely. You know, he did that because everything changes. I mean, I think that's a play that if we go back at the end of the year, wherever the Texans end up, and we say, what were the biggest plays of the season? There's one right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's potentially a not season saver, But it certainly changes the direction, the dynamic of this squad right now.
And it's helpful that, I mean, it's a division game, right? Making sure that you get that win in a division game. Even though I've said it up and down, I don't think this AFC South is one that you actually are contending with, like, when it comes to the real things. Obviously, you need to make sure that you do the things to get you to the place that you need to be. But the real contention that this Texans team should be looking at is at the top of the AFC. That being said, you got to make sure to get it done, and he saved this game.
And speaking of game-saving type plays, Folo Fatukasi, he's had a couple of those this year that really either changed the dynamic of the game or flat-out helped save the game. And the third-down stop that he had down on the goal line after the Bigsby play was as big as any. He hooped a little bit, too.
I think so. Yeah. I want to give respect to this dude, and this is almost like a season achievement award in some ways, but there was a few plays that highlighted it for me, which is Henry To'oto. He is so decisive now. After last year, that basically being his issue is that he, not trusted what he's seeing, or sometimes ended up in a place where he was wrong, and then that leaves a giant gap for a running back to get through. He is so decisive, and more often than not, he is right in being in those places. And you could see it. Like, there's plays where he is in the backfield before the running back is there, right? Like, he is meeting him in the gap or meeting him through the gap. And that has been so helpful because how many of us have asked when Christian Harris is coming back? Like, we are through 4 weeks. He is eligible to return.
This week.
We haven't heard. I'm not sure the Texans know if he's alive, right? Like, we haven't heard anything about Christian Harris, and that has been made that much easier to happen because nobody is looking at Henry To'oto like, damn, when's Christian Harris going to get back? That's a credit to that young
man. No, it's an absolute credit. I think they're going to be asked about Christian Harris this week, and we might get a little more clarity, but he's first four games, that guy has more than done his job.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where, Christian Harris gets back, and now I'm comfortable with Henry plays some game, get some playing time, and if you need to move that around, that works. So, hey, shout out to all the five folks in this game who hooped. Oh, real quick, Dalton Schultz.
I was going to put him too.
Was that the final drive where he
a little over the middle.
Yes, he gets the ball, and we've talked about that. I mentioned this, that he reminds me, I feel kind of like Jason Witten, where it's like he's going to get the yards that's thrown there. Maybe not going to do a ton of extra, with all due respect to him. Like, I do think that he's a good tight end, don't get me wrong. But, I don't see him as catch the ball and run. Buddy, the effort that was given on that play. To one, as your knee is on the ground to catch the ball, pop up, know exactly where you are, turn around, and fight for those extra yards that were necessary to get them down within the three. And I think that spot was bad, too, because I think he was within the two.
He might have been.
I thought that was incredible and indicative of just, the little things about this team that can go a long way in the way that they fight about it. So shout out to him in that as well. Hey, shout out to the Texans getting a 24-20 victory over the Jaguars. And shout out to all the folks that hooped. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. It's baseball time. We are about to be in postseason baseball. October starts tomorrow, and so does the Astros wild card series. Who are they playing? What are we looking at? And it's also Rockets Media Day. Let's talk about all that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Everybody talking tonight, or today rather. John Lopez, sound off.
On what?
Okay, thank you. Piggy Fig, sound off.
On what?
Very good. And myself, Reginald Adetula, I will not say on what, although technically I did say on what by saying I was not going to say on what. I just wanted to throw y'all for a loop, see if y'all was on your grind right now.
I'm sounding off. Sure.
Excellent. Let's sound off a little bit about these Astros. October is when things get going for the Astros. Very familiar with this time of year. And again, we're going to see how that is represented with another person who's familiar with this time of year, AJ Hinch and his Detroit Tigers. That is your matchup for the ALCS. That begins tomorrow. So you're scheduled for Tuesday, Wednesday, and possibly Thursday.
Possibly Thursday.
Depending on how it goes. Obviously, three-game set if you're not familiar with the way that goes. Winner of two moves along to the ALDS. But with that being the case, Tigers come in into town to face off against you. And these are day games. 1:32 first pitch central time all of them. Why does this happen? Why does this keep happening?
1:32?
What's wrong with 1:30? Why does it happen with the Astros now? Like, when the Astros were first getting into the postseason and all that, you could understand it. Like, big market, but not exactly one of the sexiest teams in baseball. Now they are. Now they are, they are everybody's either favorite or most hated team. I don't understand it, but whatever. It starts tomorrow, and I was mentioning this to you off air. How much money would you have lost and conceivably would lose betting against the Astros after one game? Like all of it? You'd lose all your money? Like, because the Astros are a team that have been, you know, down, you know, down in series,
yeah,
look bad in a game or a series or in the postseason, especially the postseason.
Oh, and like, so like after the first game in a series.
In a series.
If you're like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here they go.
You would have lost your house, right?
Yeah.
Because the Astros are so clutch and have been so clutch. That said, huge game one.
Must win, John Lopez.
I didn't say must
headline,
win.
Headline, John Lopez says Astros must
it's
win.
A must winner.
First game of ALCS.
I'm mocking myself, people. I'm mocking myself.
And we are marking you, too. I just
I noticed.
You're welcome.
I noticed. But I think it's impossible to downplay how important this game one is.
Yeah, man. And it's even more important because the pitching matchup is...
Yes, that's why.
Bellissima.
Yeah. Right?
It is an incredible matchup. You have the likely, possibly unanimous, mm-hmm, AL Cy Young coming to town. In fact, you called him the Triple Crown, which we'll talk about that later. Tarek Skubal.
Mm-hmm.
Tarek Skubal, who has been fantastic. He has one of the three best... he has the best ERA in the AL this season. The three best ERAs in the AL this season all exist within this series.
Yeah.
He will be facing off against Framber Valdez, who has the third best ERA in this series. Like, this is going to be fascinating to watch.
It's huge. And again, if they lose, I'm not going to be betting against the Astros because of what I just said. How many times have you'd have lost your house betting against the Astros after game one? But game one is huge. Skubal led the league in wins, led the league in ERA, led the league in strikeouts. And you're facing Framber here, and it's a short series, which amplifies that even more. The fact that it's a short series, and you would lose home field advantage. It is an enormous game tomorrow, Reggie. Like, an enormous game. Not going to write them off because we know the Astros.
Sure.
But enormous.
All right, so with the game one being so enormous in your mind, how do you feel about the possibility of not having Yordan Alvarez? Now, obviously, they play the Astros played the Guardians this past weekend, and buddy, I can't tell you much what happened. I think they actually had a rainout of some sort on Sunday.
Wasn't Flo there? From Progressive?
Was she really? I thought that was a joke.
No, she was. I saw a video.
Excellent. Very good.
Yeah.
So, Flo from Progressive.
You could have told me anything.
That's all I remember about
you that. You could have told me anything. And I say that with all due respect to the Astros, but that is the place. But finding out information about Yordan Alvarez was the most important. It seemed like Joe Espada was in a place where it was more positive about it, but he remained in that place where there were more boxes to be checked. I don't know what kind of update we'll get today. But that is the space to watch on this Astros team.
Yeah, he said, I guess, Saturday or Sunday, I forget now, he was able to be on the field.
Yes.
But today is going to be the big day because he, quote, might take batting practice today. Okay. We need it. We need Yordan, especially against a pitcher like Skubal.
Yeah. Now on the backside of this, and I encourage anybody, our Astros insider, Adam Spillane, put up a very interesting primer piece for this series, mm-hmm, on the Sports Radio 610 website. So Sports Radio 610 is the website. Go to that and, you know, check out what he wrote. But one of the things that he mentioned is Tarek Skubal goes, and that's a tough matchup. But after that, they're going to piece this together with bullpen games. Now, their bullpen has been pretty solid. They've gotten good pitching all season, or like since the All-Star break, I should say, the Tigers have. But that is something that feels like something you could take advantage of, is the idea that they're going bullpen game compared to the Astros, who have a pretty solid three that you're thinking about, right?
Yeah, and that's where the Astros can feast. That's where the Astros, even if they do not win tomorrow, can feast on that. That's what they do. You know, they get pitchers and they put those clutch, you know, innings together, and they shut it down with the back end of the bullpen. So as I mentioned, it's not, you know, hey, you know the Astros are this or that and maybe in big trouble after game one, but it's a huge game one because then it's a distinct uphill climb.
So that's going on. That'll happen tomorrow. That game, 1:32 first pitch is what it's scheduled for.
All three games, right?
Yeah, all three games. I forget day games. That'll happen for the ALCS. Another thing that's an oddity is that we have two baseball games today. Doubleheader between the Mets and the Braves, even though that season is over. And it's really interesting, this doubleheader, because it has stakes, but it's almost a little bit of a prisoner's dilemma type situation where there are three teams that have not determined what's happening for the end of the season. those Braves, those Mets, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, mm-hmm. all NL-wise. If one of those teams, if one of the Braves or Mets win both of these games, they get into the playoffs, as do the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, if they split the series, or both split this doubleheader, rather, both the Braves and the Mets will make the playoffs, and the Diamondbacks will be out. Do they need to make a little gentleman's agreement in there?
Absolutely.
You take one, we take one, let's go home.
And don't think it couldn't happen. Like, hey, you're in, we're in. What do you want to do? Oh, you got this game. We won the last one. You can have this one. No, come on. Right?
Look, I don't.
You're guaranteed you're in.
That feels like against the spirit of competition.
Yeah.
However,
competition, I mean, my ass.
That feels like it is against the spirit of competition.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why this game was moved to after the season, technically, or this doubleheader, rather, over the weekend, was because of Hurricane Helene, all the devastation that it wrought. And the Houston Texans doing a little something to help. Obviously, Houston is not too unfamiliar with the devastation that can be wrought by a hurricane. And so the Houston Texans are donating 1 million.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. $1 million towards Hurricane Helene relief efforts. And so good on the Texans for doing that, being a staple of the United States community, right, and understanding these types of situations. And also, I guess I should send a big shout out to the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
How about that? Triple A champs, baby.
Triple A national champions. I didn't even realize that's exactly how that happened. But Triple A national champions, the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
Where's the parade?
Yeah, that's a great point.
In Sugarland, they should.
They should.
In Sugarland, they absolutely should.
I'm down to go.
I'll pull up to Sugarland.
Yeah.
Did I say ALCS again?
Yeah, I think you did.
AL wild card.
Yeah.
That's where they should go, is the ALCS. But the trip to the road, rather, to the ALCS begins tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how we clean it up.
Man, thank I'm all you, in on this Sugarland parade now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in on that.
I'm going to look at
get the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Even a mini parade. Like, let's just do a real quick one. You know what I mean? Like,
just do a party.
But I think that is cool to see the AAA affiliate get a championship in some ways, because this is an Astros farm that had been looked at as if it is worse in the league. And if you can put a championship together, that means you got a little bit of something there.
You got
right?
something going on. I was the same way. I was like, okay, I thought they weren't good. They got that. At least in AAA, they got that. So
yeah, which, I mean, look, that is going to be the place where you need it to be there, especially with this Astros team, right? If you had a championship at high A, right?
Big whoop.
Right, exactly. Yeah. How is that going to help the big league club? Mm-hmm. You possibly have some situations where you have to look at and see about filling some gaps. I mean, one of the big ones, possibly third base.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some guys at the AAA level that can maybe speak to that? I know Bryce Matthews is the one that I keep looking at due to playing shortstop, who has the possibility to maybe move to third base to make that. So, yeah, that's something to keep your eye on. A reminder, thank you, 713, for the reminder. I should reset this. We found out earlier today that a Houston Rockets legend, a legend of the NBA space, and really just a legend of, I guess, cultural consciousness in the United States, particularly if you watch that one Geico ad where he slapped that cereal box
that
out the air.
I forgot about that.
From that,
one
child
too.
And gave him the no, no, no. I say all that to get us happy, because it's very sad news that we learned earlier today that Dikembe Mutombo, basketball legend, passed away today at the age of 58 due to brain cancer. And so I got a text from a friend. I was like, I didn't even know he was dealing with that. And I'm not sure.
I don't think he let anyone know.
But it's sad to see, obviously, another bleak cancer moment, which I know is something that everybody can get behind. But a hugely important person in this world, because he continued to spread, he's built hospitals with his own money, continued to spread the game of basketball. Obviously, one of those things significantly more important than the other, even though both of them important. And just an incredible person as well. I know that you've had some interaction.
I have, and as I mentioned, you know, the term, you know, he's a better person than he is a player doesn't even apply with him. He's just a better person than most people in this world. And you outlined some of that. And as far as like Dikembe Mutombo memories, as big as he was here, and he was an icon here in Houston, I still go back to the Denver 8 seed versus 1 seed versus the Sonics, and that image of him holding the ball.
Yeah.
Just completely
just not letting it go.
Ecstatic at the end of the game, lying on the floor. I mean, just shocking, first of all, as we mentioned, but just an incredible person, like beyond anything you normally come across.
Defensive stalwart, legend of the game, incredible personality.
Probably
incredible person.
Some of the sharpest elbows, any
buddy.
Man.
buddy.
Oh, he had an edge.
Elbows, man.
If we're being honest here, he had a little bit of an edge.
Those elbows would stab you.
Yeah. So rest in peace to Dikembe Mutombo. And then also, Rockets Media Day is today. In fact, it's been going on as we've been doing this broadcast. So I'm interested to see what kind of comments come out from Media Day about Dikembe Mutombo, but just about this team as they head into another interesting season coming off of a 500-year more growth possible, more figuring out of who that foundation truly is, and it begins today as we head towards we add basketball to the sports calendar.
Be on the menu
for the rest of the season, or rest of the year, I should say. Hey, we're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Texans victory reaction Monday after a 24-20 victory over the Jaguars. Coming up next, we have to ask this question because it was a big talking point last week. And we've been looking at it. Is this a disciplined Texans team? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.